Welcome to Family Guidons, the podcast created by military spouses for military families.
We're the ones holding down the home front during deployments, state activations, and everything in between.
Here we have an honest conversation about the realities of military life, the highs, the hard moments, and the strength it takes to keep moving forward.
Whether you're new to the military community or a seasoned spouse who's seen it all,
Family Guidons is your place for connection, support, and real conversations.
Because no one understands life like the ones who've been living it beside them.
This is Family Guidons. Fall in. Welcome back to Family Guidons. I'm Michelle Matheny, a military wife of 14 years, a mom to three small girls, a small business owner, and a proud supporter of the military community.
I'm Kathy Bridgers, military wife of 28 years, military mom now of 8 years, and a mother of two adults, Austin and Bailey, and Bailey's a physical therapist.
Hi, I'm Charlotte Stillwell. I am a military spouse of 31 years, a military mom to a son who is serving on active duty, and I'm also a Gold Star child.
We're here so that you all feel like you're not alone and that somebody understands what you're going through. We understand, especially when it comes to long deployments and how time seems to really get stretched out and slow down. Mm-hmm.
So today we're going to talk about those endless days and how to fill them with purpose and peace. Let's start the day with reading an email. We received an email from a military child, 19 years old, I think is how this reads.
Awesome.
DEF is this person's initials. So for this person, time stretches, it slows, it changes shape. Some days it feels like it loses meaning. After enough days, weeks, and months, you stop looking expectantly at the door. You remember that they aren't just out late, they're serving on a mission. Slowly you find your rhythm. A new normal takes form. You learn how to live in space between you, carrying them with you even when they're not beside you. The waiting is still heavy, and it never becomes easy, but it does become meaningful. So you hold down your fort. You keep moving forward. You raise your family, show up for your job, and keep living with intention and pride. And when our service member finally comes home, when the waiting ends, they return to something strong, something steady, something beautiful that endured because of you.
Wow. You can feel the emotion in that one.
Yeah. You really can. It's if I had to say one of the top things about being, about struggling with someone, a spouse, a family member on deployment, it has to be that time when it's just you. Yeah. It's just you with your thoughts. And, those days just stretch.
I think the old adage of like time standing still is so poignant and appropriate for a deployment, because sometimes there are stretches that pass in the blink of an eye, and then there are other times when you feel like, how is it still, how are we still in the same week? Like, how has another week not passed yet? We called this one, the days are long and so are the months. And I think because it's like you, for me right now, being in this, it's every day feels long. But then, sometimes the weeks go fast, sometimes they go slow. But then you look at the end of the month and you're like, wow, how has it only been a month? Mm-hmm. And then other times I look back and I'm like, he's already been gone, about 3 months. And that feels like time has really kind of gone by and we can do this and we can get through it. So it's such a back and forth of how time feels depending on the day, depending on the situation, you know, just what else is going on in life at that moment.
It's a real emotional roller coaster because your emotions are just up here one day and down the next. And you're just trying to catch your breath and take it one day at a time and not look too far ahead.
Yeah. And I know we all have those stories, right, about something that stands out in your mind as a really tough time when you were going it alone.
And it doesn't have to do, I mean, you can have those tough times even as a seasoned military family member. It felt tough with kids. But let me tell you that the toughest time that I had had to do with Rob's deployment to Kuwait. I was a new empty nester. Rob and I were supposed to be new empty nesters. We were taking our son to school his freshman year, supposed to be the two of us, and it ended up just being me. And to kick that all, you know, to make that even more heightened, it was also during COVID. So, I'm delivering my son to school. He went to one of the few colleges that took students back and kept them there. But as I drove home, I was thinking, and I cried. I got to Columbia and cried about the whole way because it was just going to be me going into that empty house. And that was new for me. It was tough. It was weird.
It's weird.
It was not at all what I was expecting. So, you know, for family members without children, we see you too. We know that it struggles go across the board.
Yeah, it's hard watching your kids suffer through the separations, but it's really empty and lonely when you go into a home and you go into bed, nobody's there. You know, when you wake up, nobody's going to be there. And then in the meantime, you're kind of worrying about what's going on away from home.
We've had two very different deployment experiences, just the different phases of our married life. So the first time he deployed was about 6 months after we got married. And we had been living, and we were both living and working in the upstate area. And when we got married, and he was getting ready to move to a new unit. We knew that that unit was deploying, but he was not supposed to be on that deployment. He was supposed to be part of the rear detachment. And so we had made the decision that, yes, I would quit my job. I would move to Columbia where we were going to be, and, you know, all of that. And then I want to say about 2 months after the wedding, maybe not even, and after I had moved to Columbia, there were some personnel changes, and they said, oh, just kidding, you're going. And I remember being so angry, not at him, just at the situation of, like, how quickly things change, and that I had given up, you know, my job and my friends and the place that I knew and loved and was living in a place where I knew almost no one. And then he was gone. So we spent our first anniversary apart, and he was gone for almost a full year that time. And so the loneliness was a big factor in that first one. Whereas this time, you know, we've got the kids. So it's not loneliness so much, because I mean, let's be honest, I am never alone with a 10-year-old and two 5-year-olds. Sometimes I wish that I was, but it's just the load that you handle when you're in that situation. Yeah, and so we've had a rough stretch recently. I have been sick, nothing major, but you know, I had bronchitis, was not feeling my best. That happened to coincide with a weekend where we got snow down here, which is, I mean, an amazing treat for my three kids who never see snow. And it was also my oldest's birthday. And so to be a mom going at it alone, you know, feeling worse than I have felt in a very long time and trying to still make the magic happen of the snow days and the sledding and the hot chocolate and the s'mores, and then also adding a birthday on top of that. And my poor girl just, I mean, she was a trooper. She, that birthday weekend was not what she wanted it to be, and it was not what I wanted it to be for her, already missing her dad and having a lot of feelings about that. But she stepped up and helped take care of her sisters and helped give me, you know, the rest that I could get. But it was a long 5 days, and it just really emphasized the struggle of just getting through the days sometimes.
My story's similar to yours. We were engaged and moving at the same time, and he deployed, first deployment. They kind of pushed him through being mission ready real fast so he could deploy. And I remember sitting in front of the TV stuffing the wedding envelopes, and on the TV they were showing surface-to-air missiles going up in the air trying to hit the airplanes. My husband was an F-16 pilot, so here I am, new to the military life, really didn't have any connections at the new base because we didn't even have a chance to, like, you know, dig our heels in at all. And just watching his potential demise before we even got going. I mean, literally sobbing and licking envelopes and stuffing the whole time, just watching those missiles go up. So, I mean, I guess I knew what I was getting into. You can't say I didn't at that point, but it was kind of, you know, it was too late. I was in it. He almost didn't come home in time for the wedding, was, you know, delay. We'd get a call, which is heartbreaking. You know, you have this date and you're counting down or counting up, and then you get this message, hey, might not be coming in when we thought. And of course, you know, it probably doesn't mean early, because that rarely happens. But yeah, it was later, and it kept getting bumped. And I really, basically, my mother helped me, but we did the whole wedding planning and everything by ourselves. And he did. He slid home in time and made it for the wedding, but that was a real eye opener
to what will come, right?
Oh yeah.
Kind of a lifetime of uncertainty. So I think, you know, trying to talk today about what helps when the days just don't feel like they're moving. Like, what do you do? How do you get through it?
You know, it's that's a good question, and it looks different for everybody. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of those times where knowing yourself and what works for you. For me, I'm very much a private, quiet person, but that's not what I need. That's not what I really needed in some of those days. Mm-hmm. And I had to make a conscious effort during those long days to accept the social invitations, when I really just wanted to sit on my sofa. Mm-hmm. And read, or, you know, do whatever it was that was interesting me at the time. But I will say, I never came away from any of those invitations going, I wish I hadn't have done that.
Right.
I actually felt buoyed. And, you know, that network, your village, you will hear us talk about it. You will hear so many people talk about their village. And that's where I turned.
During mine, we had a Christmas break. I was a teacher at the time, so I took that Christmas break to fly home, mm-hmm. and just kind of hunker down with my family, my mom, my dad, and my siblings, and that's what got me through that part of it, because I didn't have the military network yet. So they just kind of scooped me up and took me in and loved on me and pushed me through.
I think you have to find wherever your comfort is in that time, right? Like, it may not be what you've been doing or where you have been. Maybe you go back to something that you know that is really comfortable. But that's different, like you said, for everybody. And you just have to kind of find this. And I do think you get into an emotional rhythm of the deployment. You know, some days, like the weekdays for us, look very busy. It's just, you're just putting one foot in front of the other and you're getting through everything that you have to get done, and trying to find those little moments of peace where you can. But man, the weekends are long. Like, do you remember feeling like that? Like, I used to love a weekend, and now it's just like, what am I going to do for, you know, two full days? Like, when you're just tired emotionally and physically sometimes from the week and you don't have that break.
That's where the parents of my children's friends really came in handy.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. You know, little girls love to spend the night with friends. And we had developed a close network from there. And they were always happy to grab one or two and entertain them over the weekends. And that gave me a little bit of time where I didn't feel like I had to be the entertainer,
mm-hmm.
the one on duty, you know, all the time. You know, and it's funny, I talk about the parents of my children's friends. To this day, they are some of my dearest, dearest ride or die friends. I know that I could call them. As a matter of fact, we just met up last week to go have dinner together. But I know that I could call on them in a time of need, then and now.
Yeah,
I love that. And I think it really does, you know, you form, it's a different kind of bond when you rely so heavily on another adult, another person for your like sanity and peace, that you just appreciate them so much. And I think, you know, there's a lot of different type of behaviors that people probably fall to. Keeping yourself super busy, isolating yourself, you know, as you kind of talked about. And I think, you know, you have to do what feels most comfortable for you, but also maybe I would encourage people to not be afraid to step out a little bit of what is comfortable or what you think is comfortable, because you might find something better. You know, like you said, you really just wanted to stay home, but after you went to the social thing, you felt more fulfilled. And so I think there's lots of different habits that people can get into. I want to take a little pause and read an email that we got, because I think it speaks a lot to like filling this, you know, these long days. So this email was from Shannon R. And she says, I have been with my husband in the National Guard for 7 years. And within this time, he has been on several missions, one deployment, and of course, drill weekends every month. It's never been easy waking up to an empty bed in these times, or knowing that he won't just come through the door later that day after work. Of course, a long period deployment was the hardest, where we filled in those days with video calls, back and forth texting, and falling asleep on the phone together at night. It's hard, it's lonely, it feels unfair. She says, I filled the time cleaning obsessively to distract myself most of the time, and when it was a weekend away for him, my mind was always making sure our home smelled and looked good for him to come home to. That is how I've always gotten through it, constant distraction and obsessive cleaning. Nighttime is the hardest, especially when I feel safest when he is at home. But if he's able to, sometimes we'll just be on a phone call and sleep, which helps. So those are some really, you know, unique and different perspectives on that. And I think it just goes to show you how different things work for different people. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it is like the comfort of just hearing another person breathe when you are used to having that presence in bed with you and you don't have it. That can be such a huge comfort. Or finding a constructive, you know, thing to put your energy into. I mean, cleaning is definitely a lot more constructive than a lot of ways you could spend your time. It wouldn't be my best choice, because I hate cleaning a shower or a toilet with a passion. But I think you just have to find that constructive, whatever it is for you that makes you feel better, whether it's cleaning, whether it's redecorating a room in your house, whether it's, you know, tackling some long-standing project. Like, I'm hoping this year to make photo albums for my kids to, you know, they have Shutterfly and all those things now where you can, like, send the pictures in and they just compile them into a book. But we kind of talked about this before, but it's like sometimes you feel like your photos, all these amazing photos, just go to like die on your phone and nobody ever sees them. And so one of the things I really want to do this year is that. And I will be completely honest, I haven't even started to touch it, but I have started organizing photos, which I feel like is a first step.
Yeah.
But sometimes it helps to have something to fill that loneliest time. And I do feel like for most people, it's probably in the evenings, right? When the day has calmed down and you're used to having that kind of debrief downtime.
Downtime. So the cleaning actually does strike a chord with me now that I, you know, in thinking about it. Rob and I knew that we were going to downsize. We were going to sell the house that we were currently in and move to something smaller because we were empty nesters. So I started taking stock of what needed to be done around the house. And if there was a room that needed to be painted, I painted it. You know, little things like that. So when the time came and Rob was home, you know, we could think about some of the bigger projects. But that was very therapeutic to me because I felt like I was moving forward. I wasn't, you know, just passing time.
Right.
I was being productive. I was moving forward and I was getting us to another goal.
Yeah, that makes sense.
We did similar things to that. Instead of just pressing pause and trying to get through, I would pick just a project in one area. Like one time we have a very small back porch. I decided to make it into a tiki hut and did it on a dime. I mean, went and got a little bamboo curtain and got some coconuts and put some string on it and made a bikini and got a grass skirt and, you know, pinned it up on the bamboo blind. And I even drilled holes in a mask and put earrings on it. And I used fingernail polish to make the red lips. I mean, it was kind of silly, but when he got home, it was a cute little, you know, and I still have that thing. It is faded and falling apart, but it reminds me of, you know, a hard time. And I used her to get me through, but, and or a garden project, or like you said, painting a room. I try to do one thing so that when he comes back, it's kind of an improvement and it makes me feel like I've accomplished something while he's gone.
I also think Shannon makes a good point of just a very simple thing, like whether that's just the ability to text, you know, back and forth during the day that helps pass the time, or we have tried, there's so many great ways to communicate now. Mm-hmm. And so we have tried to be really more mindful of sending daily messages. I don't know if y'all have heard of the Marco Polo app, but that's one that we have both started using. It's kind of like a cross between texting and FaceTime. They're videos, but they stay in a feed. So like we have a message chain just between Bill and I, and we can record the video so that we can have that more face-to-face personal contact, but you are able to watch it anytime you have, you know, the convenient time to do it. So you don't have to organize a time for the video call that everybody's available and that he has internet and, you know, whatever it might be, because the time difference can be a real challenge for most deployment areas. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's, you know, in the middle of his work day when the girls get up in the morning, and by the time they're off school, he's asleep. Mm-hmm. So the real time talking is difficult, but this allows him to send messages that they can see later, and them to, you know, do the same for him and also for us. So I think finding one little thing that you can do in your day to help, either something to look forward to,
yes,
or to pass the time, or to still feel like you've got some kind of connection with your loved one, is so, so important for them too, because, you know, they're the ones, I say this to my kids all the time, you know, when we were struggling with him getting ready to leave. Mm-hmm. They were thinking of all the things he would miss here, right? Mm-hmm. And it's hard to think about, he won't be here for my fifth grade graduation, or, you know, whatever it might be. But also, you know, reminding the family that's here that they are the ones, the service member is the one that is on their own, mm-hmm, right? We have each other. We still have our traditions and our comfortable home, and they are kind of out, you know, doing their own new thing on their own and feeling more isolated. Mm-hmm. So trying to focus my energy and their energy on how we can be supportive of him, mm-hmm, has helped to keep the woe is me, mm-hmm, down a little bit, though that still creeps in from time to time.
Well, it's hard for that.
Yeah,
not to creep in, because at our core, we're very concerned about, you know, doing all the things that we need to do so that we come out of this successful and balance the worry. I mean, that's the heart of it.
You're right. It's not just days that we're looking at filling. It's months.
And months can really turn into a lot of heavy emotional feelings, especially if you start looking too far out. So my suggestion is plan ahead as much as you can. We used to, you can pre-record your spouse reading bedtime stories, or yes, if you're a family of faith, they can, you can record them reading Bible stories or scripture, and you can put little wallets together, like I spoke about on the other, with pictures of them with their parent that they can carry with them, or the dolls that we talked about with the spouse's picture on them. And I would start saving money ahead of time, because you're going to need some breaks. So if you can get a babysitter once in a while, because it's hard for you to fill somebody else's cup up if your cup is empty. So I had a little girl that lived down the street, and I would pay her a buck or two, and she would come and play with my kids while I was there. But it would just give me a chance to breathe. It would give them somebody different to interact with. And she would usually just stay and have dinner with us. She kind of became part of the family. So just a couple of ideas to plan ahead, so that when you're in the middle of it, you're not digging for things to do. Also, try not to look. I know we have these jars where you move things, but if you could break it down into smaller segments, and maybe at the end of each week, make ice cream sundaes at home on Friday, or have a popcorn and movie night and go, we made it through another week, instead of waiting to celebrate at the end when they come home. Break it up into smaller segments.
I do love that. And I had seen that idea somewhere of like celebrating, you know, having some kind of letting the kids pick, but, you know, having some kind of big fun thing, like whether that's a trip to, you know, the trampoline park or something, mm-hmm, at the end of a month to like celebrate that, yeah, you got through it. And I think, like you mentioned, you know, just trying to kind of anticipate the emotions that will come around holidays, mm-hmm, or birthdays or breaks from school, mm-hmm, to have something different and fun and special to fill that time. You know, it's, and you could drive yourself crazy. There's a million ideas, and I don't want anybody to feel like they have to do all of them, but just picking one, mm-hmm, different thing that will still incorporate that missing family member into a special occasion, I think can do a lot. And like you said, then you're not scrambling at the last minute to, mm-hmm, to try to think of what to do for that.
Yeah. If they're going to miss a birthday, you can get a birthday card ahead of time and let your spouse fill it out and put a, you know, a special note in it. I would even go get gifts and slide them into the mailbox. I'd go to bring the kids to school, and we'd come back, and I'd say, let's check the mailbox. I mean, it could be a bouncy ball or a slinky. It didn't matter, but it would be from Dad.
Right.
Just to take the pressure off of him of having, you know, to worry about sending things home and writing letters. We would try to get it ready ahead of time.
That's a great idea.
So, and I think we've kind of touched on this, but as far as filling those months, I know we look ahead to the birthdays. We look ahead to the different seasonal activities to look forward to. And I think it's also helpful to create a countdown within a countdown. Mm-hmm. Break it apart, especially for younger children. Time is so long for, mm-hmm, them. And I think if you break your big chunks into smaller chunks and look forward to something on a smaller scale, I think that does become much more helpful.
Absolutely. I think, you know, there's a million creative, mm-hmm, creative ways to fill the time.
Let's take a look at, we had another email. This is from someone who's actually in the military. He is active duty, and this is from Jahar. I make sure to take care of my physical and mental well-being daily. Consistent exercise and a healthy diet definitely help me stay at peace when I'm away from my family and loved ones. As well as bonding with my soldiers and peers, I make the most of the time we have together. It's important to find moments of fun between all the work and headaches that come with the military lifestyle. Thank you, Jasar. I like that he focuses on health and wellness. Mm-hmm. One of the things that, and it seems to be a theme as I was thinking about and preparing for this, I seem to revert back to something physical that I can do. When the children were younger and Rob went to Afghanistan, I decided that I was going to participate in a sprint triathlon. Mm. So I was running, I was swimming, I didn't bike like I should have, but I decided that's what I was going to do. And so I would take the kids to school before I started, before I started the rest of my day. I went out and trained whatever it was, that needed to happen that day. I did not participate in the sprint triathlon, by the way. Long story.
But you did the prep. But you did the work.
I did the prep.
I
put in
that
the time.
Was good.
Absolutely. So, and then this most recent one, I got involved in an exercise class, and within that class, there were always challenges, attend a certain amount of times and get a water bottle. Well, let me just tell you, that water bottle meant the world to me because it showed me that I was there and I showed up, mm-hmm. and it wasn't just about focusing on the physical. I actually was turning off everything. While I was in that class, I was just focused on that. Mm-hmm. And it was like a little mini meditation of sorts. So I can identify with Jasar on this.
Well, I think it lends to the idea that you don't want to just be sitting at home waiting, mm-hmm. right? That's agonizing. So you have to find your own ways to keep moving forward, mm-hmm. to make progress in whatever your life, looks like at that point in time, because if you're just focusing on waiting, focusing on the countdown, then you'll drive yourself crazy. Mm-hmm. I do think there are some organizations or some things that I wanted to mention, and I know we've talked about a lot of ideas, but these are two that have really kind of spoken to me. Operation Gratitude is a nonprofit that exists to support military members and families. So if you are someone who's involved in maybe the SFRG for your unit or anything at the unit level, you can get bears, deployment bears from them. I don't believe they do individual shipments, but there are these cute little, snuggly bears that are wearing a uniform. And our unit was lucky enough to get those for every, I think, dependent under the age of 18 before our service members left. So that's a really neat thing. Another one that's local to us, and so it's very near and dear to my heart, but I know they will ship outside of this area, is Harper's Homefront Heroes. So Harper Truslow is a 10-year-old whose dad is in the South Carolina National Guard, and she participates in pageants. Hmm. And so when you do pageants, you always have a community service initiative. And hers is Harper's Homefront Heroes. So she has created these hero bags, and you can go on her website and request a bag, or you can send a bag to someone. And the bag is a cute little tote bag, and it's got a blanket, and it's got an American flag stuffy, and some patriotic pins, and it has a journal in it. And I think depending on the age of your child, different parts of that bag may speak to them. Like my 5-year-olds love the American flag blanket and the stuffy. My 10-year-old has really latched on to the journal. It has a place where you can, count down or count up to their arrival home. And it has a little weekly kind of calendar area where you can write in a highlight from the week, something you want to remember to tell your person when you talk to them, a fun thing, a hard thing. You can put pictures in. So it's just a really neat place for her to track what's going on. And it really helps to kind of drive their conversations as well when they do get to talk, so that it's not just, what'd you have for dinner? How did you sleep last night? What's new in school? Mm-hmm. But it really helps her kind of keep those thoughts for when she does get to have a good conversation with her dad.
I love Harper. I don't know her, but just hearing about the story.
That's awesome.
How awesome is that?
Yeah. So highly encourage people to check those out. I think we'll hopefully be able to drop those links in the description for this episode. And, beyond that, just find whatever little thing, whatever little habit gets you through the day, and keeps you on track and moving forward in this time, right?
That's right. That's right. So something to think about between now and the next time that we get to get together and talk. We would love to hear from listeners how you're holding space for yourself. What are you doing to fill those long days, those long months, to get through those days? How are you working through that? So if you've enjoyed today's podcast, we'd love for you to hit that follow button on whatever platform you listen to your content on. And even better, share it with another military family. Our next episode is titled, It's Almost Summer, What Are These Kids Doing? And we're going to have a special guest come and talk to us about the unique challenges that summer brings for military families and the resources that are available to us. And as always, thank you for listening to Family Guidons from the Bluff Road Readiness Center in Columbia, South Carolina, to wherever you may be. Until next time.